Hi.
Here.
Just in time for pie.
Hello and welcome to Back to the Sugar Camp. It's Steve Fruitman here with another edition of The Camp. And this week we're featuring Canadian vocal pop quartets from the late 40s right through the 1950s. And a little bit about the Canadian music scene. My guest is Ken McLeod. Ken McRae, I'm sorry. We're going to start off with some music and I'll get my act together.
A story untold of a girl who left me standing in the cold, and since she's been away, I've never had a happy day. I hope and I pray that she'll hear my plea. Someday she'll come back to me, for here in my heart there's a story untold. After all is said and done, you said we'd be as one, but darling, I found I was wrong. She'll hear my plea, and maybe someday she'll come back to me, for here in my heart there's a story
I find it. It is a story untold. It's a story of the great vocal quartets of the 50s and till the beginning of the 60s, I guess. They were very, very popular, and various forms of them still exist. Ken McRae is my guest tonight here at the Sugar Camp, and you were a member of one of these vocal quartets. Welcome to the Sugar Camp. So you were a member of the MC Quartet.
The four MCs, back in the 50s, yes.
I've seen it, the MC Quartet, the four MCs. I've seen MC spelled E-M-C-E-E-S.
Yeah, it's like spelling the name McRae, M-A-C-M-C, all over the place.
So tell us a little bit about what we just heard. That was the Crew Cuts, and that was one of the first big vocal quartets from Canada that made it big in the States.
It was. They inspired a lot of us at the time. They were originally called the Four Tones, and Barry Nesbitt had a hand in helping them. He had them on his weekly teen show on a regular basis. And they came out of St. Michael's Choir School, as did the Four Lads. And during that time, they made a very good decision. They covered the Chords' only hit, and that was Shaboom, which was a hit for the Crew Cuts in 1954. And they had a similar history to other groups. They appeared on the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scout Show, and they connected with a celebrity DJ named Bill Randall out of Cleveland, who connected these groups, including the Diamonds, for example, with Mercury Records.
Now, all these bands were inducted into Canadian Music Hall of Fame, the Juno Awards Hall of Fame, I think in 1984, the Crew Cuts, the Diamonds, and the Four Lads.
Yes, and the terminology then wasn't technically bands.
groups.
Vocal groups.
Vocal groups, yeah.
Yes, at that time, because none of these groups played musical instruments at the time.
Yeah, but they weren't a cappella. They used to have, musicians backing them up, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
As opposed to barbershop quartets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and quite a different sound.
I remember asking you when I talked to you about a month ago about the difference between barbershop singing and what you guys were doing in these quartets. And,
mm-hmm.
and that is basically there's in barbershop, they sing the root note, the third, the fifth, and the seventh.
That's it.
And that's you it. Didn't do that. You would just...
We did not do that. And it's a sound I've tried to acquire a taste for over the years. In fact, I've gone out to some sessions to sing barbershop, but I have to honestly say I came away with not a great appreciation of the barbershop sound.
Yeah, I've never been a guy that appreciated barbershops either, but for another reason.
I can see that. I wish we were on TV.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so we're going to hear another crew cut song right now. This is called Kokomo.
Oh, yes.
Now, this was a big hit for them too, eh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they were really big, were they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cam McCray's my guest here. I'm back at the Sugar Camp.
Hey, Kokomo. Talk to me, baby. Whisper in my ear. Talk to me, baby. Whisper in my ear. Won't you come a little closer? Don't have no fear. Don't you know I love you so? Don't you know I love you so? When I'm all ahead, don't come up.
I heard what you told me, heard what you said. What you told me, heard what you said. Don't worry, my pretty, won't lose my head.
Don't you know I love you so? Don't you know I love you so? When I'm all ahead, don't come up. Dimples on her knees.
What a couple of birdie knees.
There's dimples on her elbows. Dimples on her knees.
Dimples on her elbows and knees.
She thrills and she chills me with just a little squeeze.
But
want you to know I love you so. Want you to know I love you so.
The Crew Cuts and Kokomo. And a lot of these groups, especially the Crew Cuts, they were kind of the link, weren't they, Ken, between the crooning singers and rock and roll?
I think so. And the Four Lads were more a melodic group,
mm-hmm.
did a lot of ballads and so on, as we know. Moments to Remember was a big hit for them. But the Crew Cuts were that link, I think.
Yeah.
And they particularly got young guys around Toronto thinking about being in a quartet.
Well, they were singing basically black music there. I mean, Kokomo.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just listen to the bass line. You know, it's kind of jazzy and, you know, walking bass line, partly through that song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You make me think of the Diamonds when you say that, because they really made a career out of covering
black
music.
They were a bit later, weren't they?
They were later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in the 57 era.
Yeah, The Little Darlin' was a cover of the Gladiola's Little Darlin' hit.
Uh-huh.
And it was a hit, you're quite right. In 1957, it was a hit for the Diamonds.
We'll hear that a little later. I've got the Four Lads all ready to go now. Your band, the MCs, your band group, I should say. I'm terrible at that. Your group basically was more like the Four Lads, right?
I think so. I'd like to mention who was in that group. Harry Harding was the tenor. The late Ivor McIver, that's a real name, Ivor McIver, was a second tenor. Ken Reaney was the bass, and I was the baritone. And it was a great time pulling that group together and getting into the business.
Well, I'm sure you had a lot of moments to remember. I think we have too. Here's the Four Lads.
January to December, we'll have moments to down. We will have these moments to remember. The quiet walks, the noisy fun, the ballroom prize we almost won.
What a good song for the month of January. Moments to Remember. You're not listening to 740 AM, the music of your life. You're listening to Back to Sugar Camp on 89.5 FM CIT. And we're talking with Ken McRae about the Canadian pop vocal groups, the quartets, basically, of the 50s. And the Crew Cuts you heard first, and that was there, the Four Lads. Now, those guys, they all went to school together, didn't they? They were all around the same age.
Yes, they all came out of St. Michael's Choir School. An interesting little story there is a couple of the original members of the Four Lads became part of the Crew Cuts.
Was that right?
At a later time, yes.
They joined forces,
yes,
eh?
Yes, they did.
And all these guys, all eight of them, I think, are living in the States now, aren't they?
Yes. And Frank Passeri is the only original Four Lads that I'm aware of that still performs. Mm-hmm. An interesting piece there, too, is they suddenly came on the scene in 1951, the Four Lads. They were backing Johnny Ray on Cry, his hit Cry. and Little White Cloud That Cried. And I mention that because in our nightclub act, we used to do impersonations, and Harry Harding, our tenor, would sing into a bucket to get the echo effect of cry, and we'd hand out Kleenex to the audience. And it was corny as can be, but they got a chuckle out of it.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I'll say it.
Well,
was,
if you do cornball right, I mean, it works, right? So tell us a bit about the Diamonds now. That sort of leaps between, say, 54 and 57.
It does. The Diamonds were a little closer to us. Bill Reed, the bass.
Closer to you in age, you mean?
Yes, and in terms physically, too.
Uh-huh.
Bill Reed used to come out summer rehearsals and listen in and provide some advice. And, in fact, he passed along some music to Harry Harding, our first tenor. Harry was also our road manager when we did go out on the road. Some music written by Tony Hayes, but this was pretty stuff like September Song and that sort of thing. They also went to see Bill Randall and got the connection with Mercury Records. And as I said earlier, they made a wonderful career of covering the black groups, Little Darling being one of them. Why Do Fools Fall in Love, Frankie Lyman.
Okay, now I heard a story about these guys that they went down to the States and they met this group, what was it called, the Rebel Tones or something like that?
Rebel Tones, I believe, yes.
And the Rebel Tones says, you guys got a great act, but your arrangements are a bit need work. And basically they taught them how to sing like a black
that's
gospel group.
That's very true. And another story on Little Darlin' is that the story goes that the group rehearsed that all night to get it ready for recording. And they were annoyed and frustrated and tired and didn't want to continue on. So they did it a little satirically when they actually cut the record. So they overdid the bass voice doing the old Ink Spots bass vocal piece. And they also had a lot of fun with it. And it turned out to be a winning combination, although they were being satirical when they recorded it.
This would be an example, Little Darling, for instance, more of a doo-wop type sound,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yes.
So what's the difference between what you guys were doing and doo-wop?
Well, doo-wop tends to have an R&B intense beat to it. And typically you see a doo-wop group with a lead soloist and not doing a lot of four-part harmony. Mm-hmm.
They do more of the yeah.
Yeah, for example, the original Diamonds came out on the doo-wop show on Channel 61. The originals all got together again and sang on that show. And you'll see a lot, when you watch the doo-wop groups, you'll hear that intense beat,
mm-hmm.
and you'll often see a lead solo singer.
We're going to hear the Diamonds right now, Little Darling, here on Back to Sugar Camp.
Novella that my lover was just for you.
My darling, I need you to call my own and never do wrong. To hold in mind your little hand, I'll know too soon that all is so grand. Please hold my hand.
My head you're up, my head is wrong to try to love her too. That my lover was just for you.
That's the Diamonds, of course. You're listening to the camp here, and welcome. Hope you're enjoying your slice of pie tonight. And the weather's just perfect for pie, isn't it? I think so. And Ken McCrae is my guest. So you were in the four MCs.
Yes.
And how did you get involved in this type of thing? You know, the average human being does not do what you did. Or nor do they have the experiences that you had.
No, it's true. I feel like I've lived a couple of lives, in fact, because of this. But we responded to an ad in the Toronto Star at the time. And everyone was looking for an opportunity, I think, pretty well to be in a group. And a couple of us at least have been doing some solo work as MCs. And so we said, hey, we don't have one MC, we have four MCs. That is Harry Harding, Ivor McIvor, Ken Reedy, and Ken McCrae. And that's how we got together. We started rehearsing at the CKEY studios on University Avenue. That was a thrill for me because I'd had an ambition to be in radio at one point. And here's the place of my heroes like Mickey Lester and Keith Sandy and so on. And when we were there, we came across the four grads and Billy Van. They rehearsed there as well. The grads went on later to appear in the Jackie Ray Show as regulars. And Billy Van is known as a comic actor who went on to a very nice career in that area.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys also, you say that when you first started singing, what were you, 16? Doing gigs?
A couple of us pretty close to that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You knew Barry Nesbitt and his talent show.
Yes, he did his talent show.
He used to get you gigs?
But in my case, he, for some reason, didn't have me on the talent show.
He didn't,
He did. He did book me. I had three or four engagements as a soloist around Toronto at clubs, and that was Barry Nesbitt arranging that.
And he was with CKFH Radio
CKFH,
and CBC?
Yeah, he was a big DJ at CKFH at the time, big name.
Barry Nesbitt. I've got a treat for everybody out there because you were only recorded one side as the four MCs, right?
Yes, and then later out of retirement we did another one, but as four MCs, yes.
In the original configuration, just one side of...
Yes.
And I played the flip side, which was Marilyn Reddick on the Christmas show because of Santa's Dream, and you guys were backing her up.
Yes.
But that feature her doing the lead vocals. The other side is Boom a de Boom, which was your big song. How did you guys go about in the 1950s getting on this little obscure Alvina Records, Boom de Boom?
Well, what happened was Art Snyder was involved in the production, and Art is well known around the city as a pianist, arranger, coach, manager, record producer. He was just everything.
Well, the whole family was amazing. I mean, the father was a drummer from Russia.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a Snyderman. He came over here he was born in 1897.
Yeah, and then Lou, of course.
And then there was CBC. Lou. He used to play some kind of horn.
He played the organ on this particular record.
Well, he played the organ on your record,
on the Boomity Boom, yeah.
That's quite prominent.
Yeah, he and Jackie Ray wrote the song. We had just amazing talent involved in it because at the recording session, we had Jackie Ray, Bob Ray's uncle. Jackie Ray went on to have his own show. He had flown Spitfires, DFC, Order of Canada, and then we had Denny Vaughan in on the recording. He was a big-name band leader, England's Frank Sinatra. He went out to the West Coast, ultimately, after having his own Denny Vaughan show, and he was the choral director for a couple of big shows out there, including the Smothers Brothers and the Glen Campbell Hour. So we were in very good company.
Good company, but you didn't sell any records.
No, we didn't sell many records. There wasn't much in the way of distribution.
There was no distribution, right?
There was no distribution. We should have stood on the corners or something with the record.
So this record, this Alvina record, which is right in front of me here, it's AL-1016.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't very many in existence.
No.
Well, I think we should hear it.
Yeah.
I think everybody wants
to hear it. I'd
like to
hear it again.
Boom a da Boom, the MC's Quartet.
Boom-a-dee-boom from the start. Found myself nearly falling apart. Baby, I flipped for you, and I thought that I was immune to romance and a love in bloom too. I was sure of myself all too soon. Baby, I slipped.
You made all of it clatter, crazy pitter-patter. I know that you're the cause of it all.
Now my heart is tired of waiting, it's really palpitating, it's sending you an SOS call. I'm walking round in a spin, and my heart's kicking up such a din. I would fight it and maybe I'd win if I were smart. But boomity, 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 boom with my heart. Clatter, clatter, crazy pitter-patter, I know that you're the cause of it all. Now my heart is tired of waiting, it's really palpitating, it's sending you an SOS call.
I'm walking round in a spin, and my heart's kicking up such a din. I would fight it and maybe I'd win if I were smart.
When's the last time that was played on the radio?
No idea, but it really is. It brings a smile to my face to hear it again.
Nice to hear it, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your own really record. Is. Yeah, for sure. Well, you guys spent Thanksgiving Day, the Canadian Thanksgiving Day, which was on the 10th of October, 1955, in the United States. You were in New York performing on the Arthur Godfrey Show.
That's right. That was an interesting time, October. We were on the Cross Canada Hit Parade, October 5. And then October 10, we're on the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scout Show. And those are our first, to my memory, those are our first two professional engagements. And we're on national Canadian TV and international TV out of New York.
So it was TV out of New York. Okay.
Yes.
So, because he was talking about, I didn't know if it was radio or television until he started talking about one of your members' blue eyes.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, nobody could see the blue eyes on black and white TV back then.
That's very true. There's a cute little story about that, too. We went down to the audition, and we started off singing Mobile. And it turned out that it had been a record by Julius Rosa, whom Godfrey had fired on air, and they just didn't want to hear that song.
So your first choice of what you wanted to sing
was
next.
That's the one we wanted to sing. We ended up singing a song we wouldn't have picked to sing on the Arthur Godfrey Show, but how could we turn down the Arthur Godfrey Show?
Okay, let's discuss the Arthur Godfrey Show, because we're going to play this whole segment. The Arthur Godfrey Show was a talent show. Now, basically, they had talent scouts that would bring acts to the show, right?
That's correct.
Now, some talent scout, Mrs. Tuttenham from New York City, saw you guys in Toronto and decided that I'm going to bring you to the Arthur Godfrey Show, right?
No, there are many stories on that one. The actual true story is, at the time, my dad and I were breeding and showing American Cocker Spaniels. We were at a dog show.
You were at the dog show.
Okay. Yeah, we were at the dog show.
I think she mentions that. Yeah. She found you at a dog show.
My father and mother made friends with this woman. They hadn't known her prior to this. And I don't know how they got talking about music, but they asked me to sing for her. And I sang for her. And she said she thought she could maybe get me an audition on the Arthur Godfrey Show. And I thought, oh, that's not going to happen. And subsequently, it turned out that it did come through. And at this point, I was singing in the quartet. So I asked that the quartet be sent down to the audition. And they said, sure, send them on down.
What would the viewership be of a show of that nature?
You know, I don't really recall. But
it's got to be the millions.
It was the American Idol of its time.
Yeah.
It was big, big show. But the voting was different. It was an audience.
Yeah, the audience votes. So it was like three acts a night, and the audience would choose the favorite?
Sure.
So you didn't win, but...
No, but you get instant feedback. And we got a lot of bookings, though, out of the show.
Okay. Arthur Godfrey is a very old-fashioned, paternalistic kind of character.
Bit of a tough guy.
A bit of a tough guy, but, you know, he's very... okay, you'll hear what he's like.
Yeah.
Here's Arthur Godfrey and the Arthur Godfrey Show, featuring the MCs.
I want you to meet the first talent scout with me. I haven't met her either yet. Her name is Mrs. Walter... Tuddenham, is that right? Tuddenham. Hello. Is it Tuddenham?
No, it's Tuddenham.
Tuddenham, I beg your pardon.
Right.
Tuddenham.
That's
Tuddenham,
right.
That's an English name.
Right.
Uh-huh. Were you born overseas?
No. Yes, I was, but not in England.
Oh?
I was born in Poland. It's my husband who was English.
Oh, is that so? Yeah. You came here very, very, very young.
Quite young.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What city in Poland?
A very little city near Warsaw, which I can't even pronounce today. It's probably no longer there.
Yes, probably not. Your husband is from England?
Yes, he is.
And you are both live here now for years, I suppose?
Mm-hmm.
What's your husband do?
Well, he is sales manager for the Unity Stove Company.
Unity Stove! 235, say it again.
East 125th Street.
East 125th, 235. Yes. A couple of more blocks, you've been in the East River. what do you do besides make him happy?
Well, I'm not sure that I always do. But I work for Harper & Brothers, the publisher.
Oh, what's your job?
I do advertising and promotion for the Bibles.
Oh, do you have to advertise the Bible?
Well, yes, it's competitive. There are other publishers, but not as good as Harper and Brothers.
No, of course not, of course not. Oh, I see, that's right. There are various publishers who publish the Bible.
That's right.
Oh, I think, am I not right that the Bible is still the largest selling of all the books?
Very definitely.
Do you have any idea how many copies are sold a year?
Well, millions, really.
Really? Millions of copies per year?
Oh, yes.
And Harper's publishes the...
The finest.
The finest, of course. They also publish a very fine magazine, don't they?
And a very fine selection of books as well.
That's right, that's right. Well, now we've got all that attended to. Whom did you bring us?
I brought a Canadian quartet.
Huh?
Vocalists.
Where'd you find them?
Well, my husband and I were vacationing at Lake Placid in Amsterdam, where we heard them sing prior to a dog show that we attended. I'll have to get that in.
But they were not part of the dog show.
No, they weren't part of the dog show. They were singing at a party.
Ah, and they were over here in this country.
And this was in Lake Placid, yes, in this country.
Yes, I was going to say, do you know today is Canadian Thanksgiving Day? Today?
Yes, I didn't quite remember whether it was today or not, but I knew that it was around now.
You know how I found it out? This morning on my program, we had some very lovely people from Hamilton, Ontario, who told me about it. That's how I knew. I'm not that smart.
Well, the boy should have prompted me.
Yes. They come all from Toronto?
That's right. They're all Canadian born.
Uh-huh. Been together long?
They've been together about 8 months.
Oh.
And they have a terrific background. As recently as last week, they were in on the inaugural for the Cross Canada Hit Parade.
Cross Canada?
Cross Canada, CBS.
Oh, Cross Canada Hit Parade, huh? And the inaugural program.
That's right, and they were wonderfully welcomed and have already been scheduled to appear again.
Well, that's fine, Mrs. Tuddenham. It's awfully nice to meet you. Thank you for bringing these boys here. You call them the MCs. Thank you.
Good news. Chariots come to play.
So play, chariots come.
I know
a chariot's coming, and I know one to leave me behind.
Good news,
chariots come to play.
So play,
chariots come.
I know
a chariot's coming, and I know one to leave me behind.
A long way from in heaven, I know.
A long way from in heaven, I know.
Good news,
chariots come.
So play,
chariots come.
I know
a chariot's coming, and I know it's leaving me behind.
Good news,
chariots come.
So play,
chariots come.
I know
a chariot's coming, and I know it's leaving me behind.
A fiery crown in
the heaven I know.
A starry crown in the heaven I owe.
A starry crown in the heaven I know. A glory, glory, glory.
Nice young bunch of fellas, a bunch of young fellas. Bunch of young fellas, yeah. Call themselves the MCs, E-M-C-E-E-S. How else would you spell it? Did you, of course you can't see it on the TV, but you saw the little fella on the right with the almost crew haircut that's grown out a little? The one that sang the bass, he has got the bluest eyes I have ever seen in my life. They're blue as your suit. My suit. This time. Make some very excellent soups. Chicken noodle soup, tomato vegetable soup, onion soup, and beef flavor vegetable soup. Very, very delicious. It takes only 10 minutes to make them, and they're out of this world. Please try some. And you folks pick me a winner, will you? First, the quartet, the MCs. Quickly, boys, please. Okay, let me see what you think of Beth Park, the soprano. And Tony Martini. All right. Your reaction indicator shows the winner to be Beth Park.
There you go, some Arthur Godfrey. I guess Ken McCray, I'm talking to, and you kind of, when you listen to that, you still hope you're going to win.
Yes.
You might change his mind. Oh, that was fantastic. Wow, what a nostalgic piece of radio.
I'm feeling this.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Eh? Yeah, so, and that was all live.
Yes.
Live to air.
Absolutely.
So when he told you to hurry up, boys, because
hurry up. While we were in New York, we had a couple of quick things happen, if you have time for it. We were at a club. It was a cross-gender club. We didn't know it when we went in. The people on stage looked like beautiful women, but they were men. And the people serving the tables looked like men, but they were women. And we didn't know this, so we were quite confused by the end of the evening. But as we're walking out, a limousine pulls up to the curb and out steps Ed Sullivan. And he says, "Hi, boys." And we were too flabbergasted to say, "Mr. Sullivan, how do we audition for your show?" We didn't do that. And I remember staying at Sloan's YMCA at $3 a night in New York.
That was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
That was a lot of money. You went out of the band after, what, 56 or 57?
Well, first of all, Ken Reaney.
The group, I mean.
Yeah, Ken Reaney left us. Yeah. He was the bass. I moved to bass. Bill Bannister joined us. And Bill Bannister went on to a solo career. Quick comment there, too. When we did our impersonation act, we would call out Bill Bannister and introduce him as Eddie Fisher. Now, when he was singing in the group, people probably didn't notice so much that he sounded like Eddie Fisher. But when he did it solo, they said, "Wow, he does sound like Eddie Fisher." So that was a cute story. And another fellow who joined the group, there were changes in the group. Bruce Stevens came along and appeared with us at one point, and he was with us on CBC's Pick the Stars. So there were some name changes as we went along. And then ultimately, I left, and Al Higgins and Larry Storino joined the group with the originals Harry Harding and Ivor McIver. And they morphed into a couple of other groups that we can talk about if you wish.
Well, they became the Nobles eventually, didn't they?
Well, they first of all became the Stereos.
Mm-hmm.
More contemporary name than the four MCs. And one of the releases featured Larry Storino's song. He wrote it, "I Wish I Was a Teenager Again." And then they morphed into the Nobles, and they had two songs on the charts in 1958. The A side was Till the End of Time, and the B side was Standing Alone. The B side was getting all the play.
And it will tonight, too.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great. If they're listening, they'll be glad. We're very glad to hear it. I must mention that they worked with one of the greats in the business, Don Costa of ABC Paramount. He was a musician. He was an arranger. He was a conductor, A&R man. Piece of trivia, he played guitar on Vaughn Monroe's hit Ghost Riders in the Sky. Not many people would know about that. And he played with Bucky Pizzarelli on that particular recording. And Bucky's son, John, hosts the 91.1 FM show, Radio Deluxe, on Sunday mornings. So lots of little connections here as we go along.
Want to hear them?
Oh, yes.
The Nobles?
Yeah, absolutely.
The band, the group, I mean, that you guys sort of morphed into without you. And Standing Alone is the name of the song. Well, Ken, you guys got together 30 years later.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Around 88.
And around 88, yes.
Now, Art Snyder had been your manager. He was the guy that basically helped you guys get your parts together musically. Mm-hmm. He was also like you said, on Country Hoedown. He was the first guy to record Gordon Lightfoot. He had his own recording studios, his own labels.
He was inducted into the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame, too, in 2002.
So he's all over the place.
Yeah, along with Ann Murray in 2002.
Amazing. So he died in, what, 1988?
I have 1988.
Okay. He had cancer.
He had cancer.
And your group got together because of...
Well, it was because of his failing health. And Irving Dobbs was the driver behind doing this tribute to Art Snyder. Irving Dobbs had been a good friend and also a music business associate. And he in himself is an interesting individual because he graduated from Columbia University Theater Arts. He's an actor of renown in the Toronto and New York areas. He's released a CD recently in his 80s called This Is Lev. And he's a songwriter. He's written 60 or 70 songs written, recorded by various artists. And he pulled everybody together. And we got together after all these years. And in preparing for all of this and back singing, Irving was now managing us coming out of retirement. This was after the show that we did for Art. Art, in fact, was reclining in the studio, failing, wanting to coach us again after all these years because he loved the sound at the tribute. He thought we sounded better than ever. And what's interesting, we had three of the original four MCs back together again. Ken Rini was there, myself, and Harry Harding. Al Higgins joined us, and he had been an MC, but later than the originals. And so it was all very exciting. And during that time, my son Christopher, there's a connection there, he got involved in one of the arrangements for us. Irving wrote Just Close Your Eyes, and he wrote Life Goes On, dedicated to Art Snyder.
So, I think it's time to hear Till the End of Time. That's the song we'll play that you sang at that tribute,
we
right?
did sing it at the tribute, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we'll hear you also do Till the End of Time with the MCs, but it was recorded later in a recording studio with some other great musicians as well. Mo Kaufman was involved.
Well, we did Just Close Your Eyes with Mo Kaufman, mm-hmm. and Life Goes On. Mo Kaufman was in a backup. I believe Guido Basso was there too.
Okay.
And we had wanted to release this for cancer, to generate funds for the cancer. We took it to Columbia. Irving took us to Columbia. The A&R man said, well, it sounds good, but I guess he didn't see a dollar in it. And there was a Toronto Star reporter along, a lady. I remember her being there. And she heard Just Close Your Eyes, and she thought, her opinion was, it was too pretty for the time.
Yeah, it's early 90s, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. We hear the songs right now. Back to Sugar Camp.
Till the end of time. Till the end of time. My love. Spring a bird to sing, I'll go on loving you till the end of time. Long as roses bloom in May, my love for you will grow deeper with every passing day. Till the wells run dry and disappears, I'll be there for you to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say that I'm the one you love and live for till the end of time. Disappears. I'll be there for you to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say that I'm the one you love and live for till the end of time.
Life's an elevator ride. lots of laughs and smiles, some days only frowns. Turn the bad times into good, that's the thing to do. Here's the secret I have learned, it can work for you. Just close your eyes and darkness turns to light. Just close your eyes and everything is right. If you care, it seems, if you want to see it through, never lose your dream.
Let the music in your soul sing out like a song. You can make
just close your eyes and darkness turns to light. Just close your eyes and everything is right. If you care, I'll be there. Though the world
listening to Back to the Sugar Camp here on 89.5 FM, CIUT, emanating of University of Toronto from Heart House. And my guest has been Ken McCrae. Thanks ever so much for everything you've enlightened me about.
Thank you.
The scene in Toronto.
It's been a wonderful time. Can I add one comment?
I think you can.
I didn't want to leave out a couple of names. Just Close Your Eyes, we sang at Roy Thompson Jubilee, the Seniors Jubilee show. My daughter Lindsay got to see her dad actually singing in a show, which was kind of a nice touch personally. And two other people joined us at that time, Dave Sanderson and the late Paul Gendron and Al Higgins. So at this time, I ended up being the only original MC after all this time. And my daughter Kaylee is now hearing a lot about this that she didn't know about, too. So it's been a pleasure, real, real pleasure.
And, pretty cool.
I'm all smiles listening to all of this again.
I've got to say, before we sign off tonight and turn things over to Patrick with Alana Cayley coming up next, that next week on the program, Laura Bird's going to be my guest. She's sort of a bluegrassy singer-songwriter, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Also, we're going to give away some tickets to the Stomp and Tom Tribute Night, February 6th at Hughes Room. Check out hughesroom.com for tickets. There, you know, you get your tickets while they're red hot right now. That's the 6th of February, Stomp and Tom Tribute. And his birthday, of course, is on the 9th. And on the 4th, the Thursday before this Stomp and Tom Tribute Night, is the Stomp and Tom All Request Show here on Back to the Sugar Camp, where you, the listener, gets to choose the songs. Now, this year, I'm announcing it now for the first time. You have to choose songs about people, about a certain individual like Big Joe Mufra, the cowboy Johnny Ware, that type of thing, okay? So study your Stomp and Tom, and on request night on the 6th, you can either email me in your requests or you could phone up during the show, and I'll try to get them on. So that's what's happening here on Back to the Sugar Camp. One small thing. Art Snyder recorded Gordon Lightfoot. Now, Lightfoot was in one of these vocal quartets as well called the Teen Timers when he was up in Orillia. That was 1954. And then he went to Berkeley, came back, and got on to the Country Hoedown show as a singer and a square dancer. And that's where he met Art Snyder, I guess. And,
yes, yes.
Art recorded him as the Two Tones with Terry Whalen at the Village Corner in January 1960.
Wow.
And we're going to hear a song called Fast Freight to take us out, because trains usually always take us out here on Back to the Sugar Camp.
Thanks again.
Good night. See you next week here on Back to the Sugar Camp. Here's Gordon Lightfoot. Terry Whalen is the Two Tones from 1960 and Fast Freight.
I guess by now you know we've all come here to sing. The way we got the title of that song from a couple of Russian scientists who came to Canada recently carrying secret documents, and they came here to sing. The idea. Back in the Depression days, of course, the 1930s, a number of men took to riding the rails. A number of these men got wanderlust in their souls, couldn't shake it. Kind of like dandruff on an old suit coat, you know. Here's a story about a guy that really had it bad.
Dandruff?
Wanderlust. Thing.
As I lie awake and listen, I listen for the train. Wish the railroad didn't run so near, for the rattle and the clatter of that old fast freight keeps a-making music in my ear. Go bum again, go bum again. Clack, 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 the wheels are saying to the railroad track, but if you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. If you go. You can't come back. Well, I wouldn't give a nickel for the bum I used to be. Worked as hard as any man in town. I've got a little girl, she thinks the world of me. A man would be a fool to let her down. Go bum again. Go bum again. I'm riding on the train.